They are not worshiping themselves. And each time you worship God, you get a reward for it. So the extra you have given has an extra benefit for you. And I believe it will come at a time when you need it. And it will not go unnoticed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, I have been asked to come here and share some things with you. And for some of us that had heard of it before, I'll just plead with you. Listen as if you have not heard it before. Because I believe there's something new that the Lord will reveal to you through it. And if you have not heard about it before, let's just take it in. Because the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord is new every day. And the embodiment of the blessing of God is His word. Today we want to share what we call four steps to getting closer to God. Media, have we been able to do anything? Yes. We call it four ways of getting closer to God. What this simply means is this. Isaiah, you're welcome. Don't mind me, I know Isaiah because Isaiah was in my class before he graduated. So, four ways of getting closer to God. This is simply the summary of the Christian faith. And this is why it is important to you, for you to listen carefully. This is what defines the whole of Christian faith. It's like saying Christianity, the good news, is made up of these four basic principles. If you understand these basic principles and work with them, you will succeed as a Christian. You will not falter. But if anybody does not have a proper understanding of these four principles, the person will live a wobbled Christian life. It will be like a house that does not have a solid foundation. You can't be too sure of when it will crumble if you put the weight of use upon it. I want to emphasize again, these things we want to share, which are the four basic principles by which you get close to God, is simply the four parts that makes up the Christian faith. That is, Christianity can be divided into four basic principles. And these principles are connected to one another. In each principle, there is a fact, or what I call the truth, and alongside the truth, there is a practice. That is, you have to know and accept that this is true, and to deploy that truth to doing things and getting things in life. Praise the Lord. Now, the first principle is titled the promise. That is what we have there. And if you look at it, there is a picture around it. It looks like a treasure box. The treasure box is not closed. You know, treasure box, especially the ladies here, I'm sure you're already having treasure boxes already. These trinkets, you keep them somewhere. You don't just throw them on the bed. There are places where you keep them so that when you need them, you go back there. You don't always keep them open because they are treasures. You close them. Why do you close them? It's not just meant for everybody, particularly if you have roommates who could also come there and pick it and go and use it before you come back from class. You try to lock it up. You make it inaccessible. The first thing to note about this principle is that what the principle states, what it tells us, is not shut off from us. And what is it? In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 to 13, and I believe that's the New Living Translation, it says, let's read what is there. Then you will call my name. You will come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will find me when you seek me, if you look for me with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I said, this is the summary of the Christian faith. That Christian faith is made up of four basic principles. And the first fundamental principle that you must know and accept and run your life by is the fact that God said, You will call me and pray to me and I will listen to you. What this is saying is that when God created you and I, he made himself accessible to us. God is not shut off from any human being. And that's why the treasure box is open. The treasure box has all the possibilities you need in life in it. And those possibilities are not shut away from you. Hallelujah. He's saying, look, the nature of God is that God is available to humanity. And you must believe it, irrespective of what your experience has been. This is the nature of God. In fact, this first principle of the promise is talking about God himself. He's saying, I am available to you. He said, look, you will find me when you seek me, if you look for me with all your heart. It means that God is saying, if you diligently look for me, you find me. If you need anything in life, come to me. My nature is to give it to you. Hallelujah. The nature of God is not a God that keeps good away from you until an appointed time. No, his nature is that he wants to bless you all the time. That is the nature of God. So the starting point is this. Please accept the fact that God is good to you, is available to bless you. The treasures that God has is not locked away from you. Hallelujah. That is the nature of God. And that is what Jeremiah is saying in chapter 29, verse 12 to 13. He says, look, I'm accessible to call me. Call my name. Seek me with your heart. You find me. I am not shut off from you. Now, if you look at it, the promise is leading to, please get it back. Hello, media. Please keep the chat on the screen, please. You notice that the promise is one, and it is leading to two, which is what? What is the second one? I'm sure that response is lower than the number of people here. What is the second principle? You see, when you are preaching here sometimes, there is something that happens that you can't control, but it will tend to bother you. What is it? It is the fact that you notice some people sleeping, but you don't know how to wake them up. Some people are already dozing. But you know, the quickest way to say, stand up, jump, but we have jumped enough. Hallelujah. At least to make sure you are not dozing. Please, if we say praise the Lord, just respond, praise the Lord with us. And if I ask you a question, please start and answer. By the time you answer, he answers, she answers, it will be a loud noise that will wake somebody that is dozing. Hallelujah. So what is the second principle? God bless you. What is the problem? He says, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. He says, listen now. The Lord isn't too weak to save you. And he isn't getting deaf. He can hear you when you call. But the trouble is that your sins have cut you off from God. Hallelujah. What is this principle saying? This second principle is saying, of a truth, God is accessible to us. God is available to us. The blessing of God is meant for us. The blessing of God is not shut away from us. God is waiting to hear us. However, something is blocking God or blocking us from being able to access those provisions from God. Have you experienced it before? You prayed for something and you didn't get it. You asked for something from God and never came to pass. But yet we are saying God is available to you. What we are saying is this, of a truth, even when God is available, even when God has made provisions for us to be blessed, something is blocking us from accessing what God has provided. And the blockade is not God himself. That is why, if you look at the image around the problem, what is it?
What is it?
It's a plier cutting a power source. The power inside the wire is the blessing of God. The plier, the Bible says, is your sin. It says the trouble, the reason why you are not getting the best out of God is the sin that is blocking you from accessing God. Now, let me clarify. This sin, if you look at it, it's not the sin that you committed yesterday. Remember, we are talking about the principle of the Christian faith. This sin is the sin of Adam and Eve. This is why you should listen carefully, because you can also use this to help your friend. The sin of Adam and Eve is something that every human being has inherited from birth. A simple way to look at it. If your father has an estate, technically, by inheritance, you own the estate, don't you? You do. But alongside, if your father is owing First Bank 1 trillion naira, can you claim that you are not a debtor by inheritance? No. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve gave back to us. We can't deny that we are from them. Hallelujah. And they sinned in the garden like you know. And by their sin, they separated us from access to the promise. The promise was what God did at the beginning. That is the nature of God at creation. That is the openness with which God made provisions for humanity at creation. But just after creation, our parents, Adam and Eve, came in and sinned against God and separated us from access to those blessings. Don't deny it. The fact that Adam sinned and gave devil access to this earth is a truth. And that is why the devil is still running roughshod here. That is why the Bible calls him the king of this earth. He rules this place. Hallelujah. And the reason is that Adam handed over authority to him. The fact that it is something bad does not mean we are not partakers. After all, we are their progenitors. Look, no matter how bad we have presented Adam and Eve, if they never existed, we won't be here. I hope you know. We didn't emanate from animals. And we didn't come from the Big Bang, as we were taught in biology by force. It is the genotype and the genetic nature of Adam and Eve that gave back to all of us. So we are their seed. And so the sin they committed, we also inherited it. And that blocked us from accessing the blessing that God has already made for us. Hallelujah. That is also a fact of Christianity. But the good thing is this. The story of Christianity did not end with the problem. Praise the Lord. The story of Christianity did not end with the problem. And that is why, if we go to the main chart, please. Let's go back to the main chart. Media. You will notice that after the problem, there is an arrow going down to what? The price states as follows. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, Christ also suffered. He died once for the sins of all of us, guilty sinners, although he himself was innocent of any sin at any time. Why? That he might safely bring us home to God. Brethren, it is also true that Jesus died on the cross. And what did he die for? He died so that he can buy us out of the bondage created by the problem and release us back to the life that God intended in the promise. Praise the Lord. I will say it again. Jesus went to the, because of course, by the time Adam sinned, humanity already lost its place with God. We became slaves of the devil. The devil had a right to rule over us. Before Jesus came, nobody could boldly say, Satan, you have no right to inflict me with sickness. And that was why in the Old Testament, every year they take bull and ram to go and sacrifice, because something has to be used to ward off the consequence of sin. What God did was to send Jesus to come and pay for the sin of Adam so that he can set us free. And Jesus did that. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that, look, the moment Jesus paid, there was no longer any justification for us to be accused. How many of us believe here that Jesus died on the cross? How many of us believe that he rose from the dead? Hallelujah. Now, the practical import, you know, we say Jesus died, he rose. Let's tell ourselves the full import. Imagine that, I think your generation too, they were still flogging people in your schools now, Shebi? Yeah, in our days they were flogging us more than they are flogging you now. Maybe by the time your children will be your age, they won't be flogging anybody again. But it was good they were flogging us, because we can use that as an example. Imagine in your school those days, a truant was brought to the assembly because he had actually done something wrong. And everybody believes, oh, indeed he needed to be disciplined. And the headmaster has said, look, I'm going to beat him in the front of everybody because what he did is wrong. It's a violation of our corporate sanity. And the boy was brought to the front of everybody. And then they had brought a platform and they had laid him on the platform. And they had brought horse whips. And the headmaster, who usually would be the one to flog, who hold the horse whip, imagine that as he was about to flog, the governor of Ogun State drives into the compound of the school. And then he comes out, this time around he's the governor, but he didn't come with his aides. But you know, even if he didn't come with aides, you will know him if you see him. And he comes and says, oh, no. I have come to take the punishment on his behalf. And he pulls his abada and pulls his buba and lies on the platform and says, headmaster, oh yeah, you want to give him 20 strokes of cane? Femi, stand by the side. I want to take it for you. Somebody's already wondering. He's already laughing. How can that be possible? But it happened. Just imagine that, because for the sake of meting out justice, the headmaster decided and gave the governor. Of course, by the time the first stroke would land on the governor, everybody would say, ah, he said the ball over headmaster. But the truth is that the headmaster still gave it. And after 20 strokes of the cane, the governor pulled his agbada back, thanked the teacher, and went into his car and went back to his office. And the students were told to go back to class. By 12 noon, during long break, do you think anybody can still go back to Femi and want to beat him for that offense? Can anybody refer to it? Why? The price has been paid. The price was not paid by somebody like Femi. The price was paid by somebody who is even bigger than the headmaster. Hallelujah. That is what happened on the cross. That is what Jesus did. The Bible says himself was innocent of any sin. He was not paying for himself. He was paying for us who didn't qualify for it. The person that was meting out the justice on us in authority is even lower than the person that is coming to take the pain. Hallelujah. Now, this is the same thing with you. Jesus is God. I hope you know. The Bible said he didn't consider it being lowered, being demystified, when he agreed to come in the nature of a man. And he went to the cross and paid for your sin and my sin. And what was that sin? The sin of Adam. And beyond the sin of Adam, he paid for even all the sins you will still commit. Hallelujah. And when he fulfilled all of that, he rose from the dead. Let me give you another deeper insight. You know, the devil thought that it's like this, that I'm painting another scenario of what happened at the price. It's like the devil owns us because Adam had sold us to him. We have no right except the one the devil gives to us. And God is saying, look, this creation is mine. I have a greater plan for them. I want to have them back. And it's like Satan saying, well, if you want to have them back, this is my price. You are the price. Oh, does that not sound smart? God created the whole of the humanity. Satan took a part of it, and God says, I want to come and buy it. And Satan says, okay, the price for buying this small set of people is you yourself. Does that not sound like by the time Satan takes God as a price for us, he has gained more? Is that clear to somebody? Look, if you have a slave, and the slave goes to the market and comes back with a Lexus Jeep, who owns the Lexus Jeep? If he wants to be smart, you sell him off and ride his car. Hallelujah. You own him. So the devil is saying, look, oh, this is a smart idea. I have this small group of people. Their master, who actually is his own master, is coming to buy them. If I use him as a prize, that is, I will have him to release these people, it means I have these people along with him. That was what transpired. The only thing the devil did not know, he didn't know that God can give Jesus life after death. Because as far as the devil was concerned, the extreme of existence is death. The devil cannot conceive life after death. And that is what he uses to torment us now. The fear of death is what he uses to torment us. The fear of poverty, the fear of sickness, the fear of adversity. There is much more beyond that. Hallelujah. And God said, yeah, I'm the price. I accept it. I'm the price. Oh, have me. And Satan accepted God in Christ Jesus as the price. And what is the evidence that he accepted it? Jesus was killed. He was sacrificed on the cross. His blood was shed. It means Satan accepted to release us because he got Christ. Hallelujah. Unknown to him, God has power to call what be not as though they are and give life to the dead. Hallelujah. After fulfilling all the righteousness of paying for our sin, which took 3 days, God now gave life to Jesus. And Jesus came out of death. At that point, all the extreme of Satan's power has been broken. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, when Jesus rose from the dead, we rose with him. Because when he died, we died with him. It means through this price, Jesus bought us from Satan and restored us back to God. So you have the right of a child of God as God intends it. Hallelujah. Let me just digress a little bit. You know, when we talk about your health, we say, by his stripe, you have been made whole. The meaning of that is this. That wound that Jesus bore, the blood that was shed, is the acknowledgement that Satan got to show that he has no right to inflict you with sickness any longer. And now, the onus is on you to believe it, to enjoy it. Where, like I started with, I said, these are basic fundamental principles of Christianity. This is the foundation. If anybody does not know this or believe this, the person is wasting his time calling himself a Christian. But if you know this, you're on the right track. It takes time, but you are going to be there. And what does it require? The price says Jesus has paid for your sin, has paid for my sin. How do I enjoy the price? Simply by acknowledging that Jesus paid for me. Hallelujah. And that is why usually when people come together and we talk about Christ, we end it up by saying, look, have you acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because the Bible says, with the heart a man believes, and with the mouth he confesses unto salvation. That is, when you are hearing me now, you believe it. It will become real for you when you say it. So, it is not enough to hear this price. It's not enough to believe that Jesus has actually bought you out of the grip of the devil. You must confess what you believe. And that is why usually we tell people, give your life to Jesus. What it means to give your life to Jesus, to be born again, is simply to confess this price. That I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he went to the cross. I believe he died and he rose again. And from today, I accept that he's my Lord. That is, the price is paid, is applicable to me. Unless an individual does that, he's not born again. You will hear people say, I'm born again. How did you get born again? I just know I'm born again. How do you know I'm born again? How did you get born again? They just preached Jesus and I said, I believe he's... No. You have to confess it. Somebody is wondering, what is the place of confession? I won't use Bible here. You see, a number of people here are not married yet. But I know you want to get married. Hallelujah. I know you want to get married. Some people are married. My brother is married. For those that are not married yet, or let's even use the one that are married. My brother that was married recently, I know she's been engaged with my sister in church. But my brother, when you met and were talking, was her mannerisms, her niceties, her friendliness, did he ever convince you that she has accepted to marry you? Something that convinced you that she accepted was that she said, I agree. Abi? It means that mere I agree is very heavy. If I agree will convert a woman to becoming a wife of a man, then utterances are not ordinary. The reason why you have to confess Jesus as your Lord for the price to be useful and relevant in your life is that the devil is hearing. God is hearing. Angels are hearing. Witnesses like you and I, we are hearing. And the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. When you say, Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior, the devil hears you. He knows the price has been paid. But what he's doing is that he's keeping people away from believing that the price has been paid so that they won't take advantage of it. So when you come to the knowledge that the price has been paid and you confess it, he knows that he has no right to keep you back because Jesus has paid. Hallelujah. When you confess that, the devil will hear. Hallelujah. When you confess it, the angels will hear. And they are on guard to fulfill the plan of God. The devil can't come at you any longer because the angel will tell him, you had. He doesn't belong to you any longer. Hallelujah. You and I will hear. God himself in his throne will hear. You say, indeed, this is my son. Hallelujah. You know what? I won't use my son as an example. Me. My father's name is Enikwome. Do you know that I'm claiming that name because I accepted that as my father's name? If I deny that it's not my father's name, would the name be useful to me? So really, that name became useful because I acknowledged that, oh, I am the son of Enikwome. So your sonship in Christ is only relevant when you accept it as true. And you live in the consciousness of it. Hallelujah. So where I am going is this. In the Christian faith, your knowledge that Jesus paid for your sin on the cross of Calvary is very critical. But more critical is your confessing that knowledge for everyone to hear, at least once in a lifetime. And start with to live in the consciousness that you are no longer under the authority of the devil. Remember the analogy I gave. When you are sick in your body and you are imagining that the sickness will kill you, it is because you have not come to accept that that sickness and death, which are the things that came with the sin of Adam, you are just behaving as if you have not been redeemed from them. You do not have the devil does not have a right to inflict you any longer. That is the truth. That is why Christianity is exciting. It's not by what you do, but what you believe. Hallelujah. I hope you are listening to me. Some people are looking down, maybe in their phones. I'm sorry. You better listen to me. Because this will come back at you. You see me sweating? Because it's the truth. Please listen. You may not have the opportunity of this kind of thing. Not by reason of anything, but the fact that when life will confront you, you need this. Please use it. Please be attentive. What I am saying is that, remember the analogy I gave. Jesus, who is a Godhead, came and paid. There is nothing that the devil has to offer that should happen to you any longer. Let me give you an example. See, if three boys, you know, in the community, boys play football on the road. They still do it in your community now. Imagine you are coming from church now, and you have made sure that your clothes didn't get dirty because you want to hang it back at home and not wash it too often. And you are coming, and those boys saw you coming, even now, after this service, and you expect them to stop to allow you to pass. Abi? That's culturally reasonable now. Imagine they disregarded you and they kept playing their ball, and just as you are passing, they play the ball and it hits your skirt and stained it. Will you feel good? Will you feel good? Only one person answered. Will you feel good, my sister? And it's likely you will hold one of them and give him a knock. If you do that, honestly, I won't blame you. But imagine you now gave each of them a knock. You gave one a knock. You gave the second one a knock. You gave the third one a knock. When you gave the first one, please listen to this analogy. I'm going somewhere. When you give the first person a knock, he says, and leaves. You give the second one, and he runs away, crying. And you give the third one a knock, and he looks and says, auntie, am I not my mom? Somebody else is changing me. You are likely to hold him again and knock him and knock him and knock him until you subdue him. Assuming you did that, subdue him, and everybody went their way. Imagine next week Sunday, the same thing repeats itself again. You are coming with another cloth and they are playing their ball again. You expect them to stop. They didn't stop. And then they slash you again. What will you do? You carry the first one, you give him a knock. The first one was the first one that time that you knocked his head and he went away crying. Abi? The second one is the second one. You gave his knock and went away. The third one was the one that showed some objection. Honestly, think about it. When you get to that boy, will you knock him with the confidence we knock the other two? No. You will still knock him. But you knock him with some caution. That is the way it is. They are not supposed to stain your clothes. The small boy, the third person that objected, should not even have objected because he was deserving of the punishment. But he still objected. That is the same way. When devil brings what Jesus has paid for into your life, you must raise objection. Your objection may not seem to you as having worked for you today, but tomorrow the devil will know you as an objection. He won't come back the same way. Hallelujah. You know the reason why? The angels are waiting on your side to tell him he shouldn't have done that. But the angels can't do anything except you show confidence and faith that you belong to God and he has no right over your life. Hallelujah. That is why when we teach you in church, please confess, say this, believe what you say. It is important. The Bible said the power of life and death is in your tongue. Hallelujah. We encourage people that don't say just what you don't mean. Don't just talk anyhow because your friends are talking anyhow. No, don't do it that way. Take advantage of this reality that you belong to God. Your utterances are the utterances of somebody for whom Jesus paid. You are a child of God. You are not ordinary. Hallelujah. I hope you know, if the president of this country, or let's not go back, if the son of the governor, who is your age mate, comes to this church and sits down, you may not know him. But some of you here, we don't know your parentage, and they are big guys. It's not showing on your face. That is not showing on your face. Does that remove the fact that your father is a big man? It doesn't change it. But it's important for you to have that consciousness that your father is that big man, and you carry your self-esteem with that understanding that I am not ordinary. That's what we expect of you when you come to the knowledge of the price. I went all through all of this to arrive at one thing. The solution to the problem is the price. And the price has been paid. But the payment for the price can only be effective when you accept it and you deploy it by saying it. Hallelujah. You start by saying it from the point of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior by confessing him. And thereafter, start saying things that are consistent with what he paid for. Hallelujah. You are in a group of friends. Somebody say, Nigeria leo, ko si se mo, awon eyan ri se mo, ton ba graduate won ri se. Ri se mo. You have messed up the sacrifice. Because in Christ Jesus, there's opportunity for you. It is the definition, it is the design of the devil for you to graduate and not have work. But the provision you have in Christ is for you to graduate and have a job you didn't even qualify for. Hallelujah. Because your qualification is not by reason of what you know. It is the fact that you are a child of God. My son will enjoy the privileges of what I have. Not because he has paid for it, but he happens to be my son. Hallelujah. And you are the son of God. You are the daughter of the Most High. The consciousness is your business. And peradventure, you are here. You have been loafing around with the rest of us. You can't remember the day you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can do it today. You can just do it now, and that makes you a child of God. You ask people, when did you give your life to Christ? I can't remember. What did you do that you remember that made you a child of God? I don't know. If you are in that category, please, just let's take it afresh. Because being a child of God is not by assumption. It's a reality. Because you need to work from the consciousness of that reality to be able to accomplish things in life. And that's why the Bible says, now there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. There is no evil that is happening out there that should happen to you. That is why a sentence of prayer that you make will get answers. Because why? In promise number one, it says, you will call me and I will listen to you. He won't hear you because of the sin of Adam. Because you don't belong to Christ. But the moment you belong to Christ, he will hear you. He will hear you. And you have to believe that he's hearing you and walk with the consciousness that he's hearing you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You notice I've spent so much time on the prayers. You know why? That's the crux of our faith. That's the foundation. Whatever you desire in God, you will have it through Christ Jesus. Because he has paid. I mean, like I used to say, my son is bearing my name now. There are places my son will go. I'm using myself as an example, not because I'm special, but I'm the one here talking. If he goes to Broshala's house and knocks his door, I'm Professor Ade's son. No. Even if he didn't want to open, if you like me, you say, maybe Professor Ade will see me tomorrow and say, I didn't open. You open. Whose name has opened the door? It's mine. It is what I have been that worked for him. Did he labor for it? The same way is applicable to you. Jesus has labored to restore you back to principle number one, the promise. And what did the promise say? You will call me and I will answer you. I will listen to you. And remember, I said there's a treasure box. The good things of life is available to you. Devil stole it. But when you came to Christ, God restored your own portion of it. That somebody is not getting it shouldn't bother you. That is that person. That is why he said, 1,000 will fall by your side in Psalm 91. He said, 10,000 by your right hand. He said, it will not come near you. Why? Because you have been separated. But the onus is on you to claim it. Imagine you go to the exam hall and you write beautifully. You know all the answers. Question 1 to 5. You write everything. And at the end of the day, you didn't write your matric number. I'm giving you a last example. In the last semester we did, it happened. The person's handwriting, was, I guess, is a man because of the way they, you know a man's handwriting sometimes. Well written, good answers, no name. I don't know how the HOD handled it because I just took it to him. But I wish the HOD would use the answers from other questions to look for him and use his attendance register to. But it can be that bad. And that's what happens to you when you are not conscious of the fact that you are a child of God. When you demystify the import of the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. So I round that up by the third principle by saying, please, what makes you a Christian? What makes you born again? Is that you have heard that Jesus paid for you and you have confessed him as your Lord and Savior. Because the witnesses have to affirm that you did. And by that, the Bible says, you will be saved. Meaning that you'll be restored back to every possibility. That is why none of you should ever expect your life to end the way Nigeria is presenting it. People are not getting jobs. Don't exercise that you won't get a job. They say people are not getting wives. Don't think you won't get. People are not getting good husbands. You will get. Why? Because you're a child of God. Hallelujah. He has designed that godly children will come through you. You can't end up not marrying and yet a godly child will come. This reality will come to you without your working for it because you belong to him. But the starting point is to accept that this is true, to confess it, and start to live it out by faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And now back to the common chart, the general chart, please. The chart, the full chart, media. You see that the problem leads to the price, and the price leads to the power. Please give us the closer shot of the power. He says, to start with, what is the pictorial representation there? You are linking up to power source. He says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our daily problems and in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in our words. And the Father, who knows all heart, knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying as he pleads for us in harmony with God's own will. Hallelujah. That is in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I guess this is the New Living Translation. This fourth principle, this is what it is saying. That after you have given your life to Jesus, you have become born again, there is something God wants you to have. There's a provision he has made for you in order to make you to be effective as his own child. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit supposed to do for you? He says, look, we don't know how to pray the way we should. But this Holy Spirit will help us to do it, because the Spirit knows the mind of God. He will pray to God in harmony with God's will for us. Hallelujah. What he's saying is this. The gift and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is the ability of for a Christian to be able to speak in tongues, will only be possible when you give your life to Jesus. That is, if you have satisfied number three, then you are qualified to speak in tongues. But that has to be by choice, because God does not force anything on anybody. But the Holy Spirit said, what is supposed to serve you? He says, look, we don't know how to pray the way we should. Let me give an example. You see, that fellow that didn't write his name on the sheet, he could remember after the exam. It's possible. And then, honestly, if you were, what kind of prayer will you pray? God, help me. What kind of help? Somebody was talking there. Kenny, you are explaining the kind of help. What of if the person knows that Professor Enikuome is the one marking the script at that time that I was sitting marking the script, and he was asking the Holy Spirit to give him favor with Professor Enikuome? Let him have mercy on me. Tell him what to do. Show him how to help me. Lord, let me find favor with him. He has power to do this if he wants to. The attendance sheet is by his side. He could check and then make a note and affirm. After all, if he says that, the HOD will accept it. Please, don't let him pass it on, because the next level may not be sympathetic. Who knows how to pray like that? It is only somebody that can see the person praying and see the professor at the same time. Hallelujah. And that is the Holy Spirit. Now, you want to go for an interview, or even you have even done the exam, and you feel, I didn't do well and I want to pass this course. How will you pray? Between when you finish the exam and when they will release the result, how do you pray? Lord, let me pass. After you pray that today, let me pass. Tomorrow, let me pass. Will you be zealous to say, let me pass again? But you and I know there are more to passing than, Lord, let me pass. Let me give you a scenario. You all know. If a lecturer is marking scripts, and the wife says, come and eat, and he goes to eat, and while he's eating, he ends up with argument with his wife about too much salt, no too much salt. And they argue and quarrel and quarrel, and the man says, hey, I'm not even eating again. And he leaves the place and comes back to sit down. Would you wish that your script is the one he wants to mark? How do you avoid that kind of situation? It is by relying on a force that is higher than you and higher than the lecturer. And that's the Holy Spirit. In that situation, you don't know what you'd pray. You don't even know how to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have been there before. You are treating cases of students. You are marking scripts, and you discover that, question two is supposed to be 5 marks, and you have been making it 10 marks. And you have marked some people's own. The choice is to go back almost 50 scripts and start checking back. And the other option is to say, well, so be it. You are a human being. It can happen. If you had been part of those that had the benefits, At the point of saying, I won't go back, does he pay you? Yeah. So what I am saying is this. Let me even go to another level. You want to go for an interview. There are 6 people for 1 slot. You have read the Bible. You have read all you have to read. But it's like, while you are waiting, you are a Christian. You want to pray. What do you pray? God, grant me favor. There are more to favor now. Everybody deserves favor. Everybody will get favor. But your prayer can be more specific. Hallelujah. When you start praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit, who knows the composition of the board, knows you too, will pray what will happen at the meeting that will favor you. He will pray it. Hallelujah. An example. Maybe somebody in the board who is a critical stakeholder, an opinion molder, happens to have a classmate that was your uncle in the secondary school. And the Holy Spirit is saying, Lord, remind him that Adeniyi was his roommate. And let him see that my surname is Adeniyi. Let him ask me where I come from because... And he said, yeah, by the way, you are from where? Oh, I'm from so-and-so. Do you know one Femi Adeniyi? Yes, he's my uncle. Okay, where is he now? He's in so-and-so. Oh, all right, he's your uncle. Oh, that's nice. Does that have a likelihood of helping you? How many of us desire that kind of thing? You can have it when you are able to pray the way God wants you to pray. Hallelujah. We are not overemphasizing the issue of the Holy Spirit baptism. Let me say this. If a Christian dies today, God forbid, he will go to heaven. A Christian that is not speaking in tongues, if he dies today, he will go to heaven. But nobody wants to die today. We want to live to a good old age. But between now and old age, we don't know how this system will be like. You know what God is doing? God is giving you tools, equipment with which to run the next 50 years of your life in triumph. That is why he's giving you the Holy Spirit that can overcome physical barriers and put you at an advantage. So when some people say, I don't need the Holy Spirit, my church does not believe it, it's not a matter of your church. It's about your own life. He said, for we know not what we ought to pray. It's about your own prayer. The Holy Spirit helps you in your own weaknesses, not our corporate weaknesses. Hallelujah. When you see people or somebody here is not speaking in tongues yet, and when we give him the opportunity to show up, he's trying to hide. It's like this. You know, if 2 people want to go to Lagos today from here, they can go to Kuto. And there are 2 options. The first option is you can pick a cab and go to Lagos. The other option is that the second guy can get there and say, all these guys, they are drinking those sachets. I can't trust this driver with my life. I'll trek to Lagos. You say, in 3 days' time, if you get to Lagos, you'll see 2 of them. Abi? The man that is trekking will get to Lagos at least in 3 days' time, at most. The one that entered the cab too will get to Lagos. If in 3 days' time, you, as a manager now, you want to send one of them to Abuja to go and do a job for the company, who will you send? Who will be in a shape to do the Abuja trip? Is it the man that trekked? The man that trekked is typically a born-again Christian that is not baptized with the Holy Spirit. He will run through life, but on the crest of his own labor. Jesus is saying, this world is so unpredictable, it's so unbalanced, injustice is everywhere. I'm inviting you to come into a vehicle that you rule to run this life. Even when they are throwing the stones of injustice, you will be immune. When there's an unhealthy competition, something will enable you to go above it. That is the essence of the Holy Spirit baptism. And it says from the chart, let's go back to the main chart. I'll be rounding up from there. The main chart, please. You see that from the price, we go to the power, and the power now leads back to where? The promise. The implication is that it's easier for you to access the blessings of God through the Holy Spirit. If you are born again, you don't have the Holy Spirit, fine, you make heaven. But accessing the treasures of God and the will of God is going to be more laborious for you. And it doesn't cost you anything. Hallelujah. Like, you didn't labor to bear your father's name. The same way, God will not call you to come and labor to earn what you deserve. Let me round up by saying this. How many of us will ask a one-year-old boy to carry a bag of cement? In fact, my brother looked down and smiled. But you can tell a two-year-old boy to bring your sail pass from that place to this place. The same boy that you won't ask to carry a bag of cement, you can tell him to bring your shoes. Why would you ask him to bring your shoes and not carry a bag of cement? Because he can't carry it. If you will not ask that boy to do what he can't do, then Jesus will not ask you to come and receive the Holy Spirit if he has not equipped you to receive it. So if you are not speaking in tongues here, we'll give you the opportunity to come and receive the Holy Spirit. Please pick it up and start running the race of life on the crest of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If you are here, you are not sure that you have actually received Christ into your life. You are not sure of when you did. You didn't understand that this is what it means. Let's just do it afresh. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads, please. Please work on the keyboard for us. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. And I want everyone to bow. Please close your eyes. Let's focus on God. If you are here, like I have explained, you cannot remember how you gave your life to Jesus. You can't remember that you confessed him before you started calling yourself a Christian. Or you have not done it at all. Or you feel that you are not comfortable with the way you have been living. And you, from this, you really want to rededicate your life to God. I will just ask you to say this after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you to confess Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. I believe in my heart that he rose from the dead. I believe in my heart that he's seated now at the right hand of God, interceding for me. Jesus, I confess you, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I give you absolute authority over my life. From today, I confess, as I believe, that Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. I belong to him. I no longer belong to Satan. I declare that I have a right to the name of Jesus. And from this moment, I deploy the name of Jesus for my sake and my use. In the name of Jesus, I will have the best that God has for me. I belong to Jesus. And I confess there is now no condemnation to me because I am in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has redeemed me from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Jesus, because I am now a child of God. I belong to you, and I lay hold of every good that has been designed for me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. Lord, we give you praise in the name of Jesus. With our eyes closed still, please, if you are here, you don't speak in tongues yet. You are not baptized with the Holy Spirit yet. You don't speak in tongues yet. I will just ask you to just lift up your hand with all eyes closed. If you are here, you don't speak in tongues yet. Now that you have heard of the benefits and the value, the place and the design of that for you as a believer, I will just implore you to lift up your hand so that we can join with you to receive the Holy Spirit. Please raise up your hands. All eyes are closed. Don't bother. It's not a matter. You are not an inferior Christian if you are not speaking in tongues yet. And please, if you are lifting up your hand, just open your eyes and look at me. Please look at that brother there. Please look at that brother raising up his hands. All eyes closed, please. If you are not one of us, just close your eyes. Please go to him now. Just take your bag and follow him so that they can walk with you to lay hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit. Please just follow them. It won't take time. Just a few minutes, you'll be back here. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord will honor your face. The Lord will honor your face. Thank you, Lord. The Lord will honor your face. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory be to you, Jesus. And the rest of all, let's start to bless the Lord in the Holy Spirit. Let's start to bless the Lord in the Holy Spirit. Let's lift up our hands and just start to bless the Lord in the Holy Spirit. Let's just start to bless the Lord in the Holy Spirit. Let's start to bless the Lord in the Holy Spirit. Let's start to bless the Lord in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's start to bless the Lord in the Holy Spirit. Give us more of it. More of it. Hallelujah. Let's start to bless the Lord in the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory be to you, Jesus. Rikapo soto libaradisha toka. He said, he that prays in tongues that defies himself, building up his most holy faith. Hallelujah. Biridekebo shakaya nakatoka sitha kaba. Rekatoka lisa takaya makato. Baliza dakato kosete kelebo kosoto kasitha. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Mari kapo santa kalisa tayamaka. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. Let's bless him in tongues. Let's bless him in tongues. Let's bless him in tongues. Your spirit is a defying the master. He's working out miracles on your behalf. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Rikapo soto kazada kato kashatayabaka. Rema zonda rakato lembo redekeze dekebo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bali kato santa kasithoka. Rikato kaliza doka shatayamaka. Hallelujah. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be your name, our God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can lift up your head. Hallelujah. Yeah. Does anyone have a question he wants to ask or a clarification you want to make in respect of the explanations I have given? Someone? Oh, yeah. Just give him.
My question is, in life we go through things, we go through, and over time we've been taught in church that we should always hold on to God's word, and when we have issues in our life, we look for something in God's word to hold on to and pray in our believing that answers come. But sometimes we have issues, like random issues, like your career, your probably you have a problem with your boss, or probably you are feeling some kind of way and you just want to talk to God, probably about your marriage or your relationships or something. And at that point, you cannot really go and find something in the scripture, or you don't really find that that pertains to. Can you just go to God and just say, God, okay, this is what, or I need direction on something, and just speak in tongues about it? Yeah, that's my question.
Thank you very much. Jerry, are we? Yeah, thank you. I will start from where you stopped. Don't forget something. This God is your Father. Yeah, I'm Professor Ade here, but when we get home, James does not treat me as professor. He bungles into me because I'm his father. And so, please, let's deploy that into our relationship with God. He's the God of all heavens and the earth. But when it comes to you, he's your father. He's deploying his awesomeness as God to bear with enhancing being your father. Don't forget that. He's God. His being God is useful to you because in responding to you, he will use his awesomeness as a father to attend to you. The weight of his fatherhood is not what he will bring into your life. It is the succor, the pleasure, and the grandeur of his being God that will be deployed to being your father. So it means it is correct. If you don't have anything you want to use to talk to God, you can't find a scripture, you can say, Lord, I need you to just show me what to do. Lord, give me a scripture. Lord, what do you want me to do here? And please remember, he's with you. You need to work on this. Let me emphasize again. If you see him as God, 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 without balancing and giving emphasis to his fatherhood, in that situation, you will feel too little to talk to God. You will think he's too busy to hear you. But he can never be too busy to hear you as a daughter. He can't but hear your voice. Hallelujah. So when you are talking like that, believe that he's hearing you. And please, another extension to that is, thank God that you are all born again and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me capitalize on that, your status now, by telling you that the Bible has taught us, we won't go into the scriptures, but the principle is this, that when you gave your life to Christ, what happened was that the old spirit that you had as a child of Adam was removed technically and replaced with a spirit that is the spirit of God. Now, when you were speaking in tongues, it is that spirit that is speaking. That is why, while you were speaking, you could be thinking. Because you think with your mind, but you pray with your spirit. And you feel with your body. Now, remember all the time, the spirit of God that is in you is in harmony with the spirit of God. So, your spirit will hear from God through the spirit of God that is in harmony with your own spirit inside of you. Where I'm going is this. When you say, Lord, please talk to me. I don't know what to do here. Remember to calm down. Stop talking. Believe that you have asked him and that he's talking to you. And just be calm. Some thoughts will come to you. The thoughts, your thoughts are the ways by which God will talk to you. More often is your thoughts. Some people will get to a level of hearing voices. But I won't even start, I won't tell you that now because that's very exclusive. The commonest way is that God will talk to you through your spirit, and your spirit will translate that to your mind. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in the Bible, I think it's in 1 Corinthians. It says, who knows the mind of a man except the spirit of the man? The same way, who knows the mind of God except the spirit of God? So, your spirit and your mind, there is a network between them. Just like there's a network between your spirit and the spirit of God, and there's a network between the spirit of God and the mind of God. So whatever is in the mind of God will move from his mind to his own spirit, who is also linked with your spirit, who will translate to your mind. So when you say, Lord, please, I don't know what to do here. Lord, I need you to help me. Just wait. Don't be anxious. When you are in haste, when you are anxious, it will crowd your mind. You won't hear God. And somebody says, but how am I sure what is occurring to me is from God? The just shall live by faith. You have to believe that God is talking to you. God will not do anything extra except through his principles, which says, the Bible says, no spirit will say, Jesus, you are Lord, except it is the spirit of God. And no spirit that is not of God will say Jesus is Lord. And no spirit of God will say, Jesus, you are accursed. So the technical meaning of that is that when a suggestion comes to you, if you want to verify it, whether it is of God or not, ask yourself, doing this suggestion, does it make me sin? If the suggestion is tending to make you sin, it's not from God. Is it clear? But if the suggestion is not making you sin, take a step of faith. Hallelujah. That's the first answer. The second answer is this. I thank God that we all are baptized in the Holy Spirit now and we can speak in tongues. You know, the question is that you have been taught here that you when you have issues in your life, find a promise of God that you need to stand on. Something you can believe that you hold God responsible to, because we know that God is faithful to fulfill his word. But he's saying, when you have issues in life, there are times that you can't find the scripture to stand on. This is one of the ways to do it. Apart from just, you know, Psalm 32 verse 8. It says, God said, I will lead you in the best pathway for your life. So God has said, I am ready to lead you. So sometimes when you go to him and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, he will talk to you. Listen to him. The other way to do it is this. Start to pray in tongues. If you want to find a scripture with which to do business with God, devote time. Don't do this kind of thing. Well, for example, if you want to talk to me now, my sister, if you want to ask me something, when I am walking on the passage, you don't come talking to me, expecting to get the best of me. You rather hold back and wait till I stop, and then you just come in, and because you know that when I am stationary, you are likely to get the best of me. The same way, when you want to hear from God, don't do it on the go. Don't be running around and saying you are speaking in tongues to hear God. You won't hear God that way. When you want to hear God, receive a scripture to walk with, please don't be in a hurry. Find time, go into your privacy, just lie on your bed, sit down on your chair, on your couch, and say, Lord, I want to hear you. And start to speak in tongues. And start to pray in tongues. Start to pray in tongues. Now, let's go practical. I know you love your sister, so you are looking at her. They were looking at you when you were coming in, my sister. Don't mind them. You're welcome. Are we on the same page now? I was saying that when you want to hear from God, you start praying in tongues in a mood that is stable and not hurried up. Just like you want to pray. The Bible says go to your closet. Just settle down and start praying in tongues. And when you pray in tongues, please pray loud enough to hear yourself. Please listen to this I'm saying. Pray loud enough, not shouting, but loud enough to hear yourself. The reason is this. If you keep praying without hearing yourself, your mind will stray. You are praying in tongues and your mind is still analyzing the problem. It happens to me too. And it is through this same mind that is going to Kuto, going to Itoku, going to Lafenwa, that the Spirit wants to instruct you through. So if you don't rein in on your mind, it will take longer. Or you may not even hear. So what do? Pray in tongues to hear and keep your mind listening to yourself. That is, you are keeping your mind listening to your utterances. That way, your mind will calm down and you'll be able to hear God. Let me prove it. Bro James, start counting 1 to 10. Yeah. What's your name? You know, he was busy counting. But when he gave emphasis to my question, did he continue to count? If he had ignored my question, he will continue. Sit down. That is the way it works. When you allow your mind to be straying about, there is nothing the Holy Spirit will tell your mind that your mind will receive. But when you keep your mind tied to your utterances, nothing can interfere. The harmony of transition of information and facts and truth from your spirit to your mind will be seamless. Is that clear? Now, how does the instruction, how does the word of God come to you when you are praying in tongues? You know, I said, keep praying in tongues and keep your mind waiting to hear, What do you hear to know what to do? One, a phrase of scripture, a verse can occur to you. And I'm using the basic words now. I say it will occur to you. I didn't say it will minister to you. I didn't say it drop. I'm not using the technical words of drop in your heart. All those ones, they are complicated. It will occur to you. You just remember. A scripture that you have had before will just occur to you. In fact, sometimes it could be a word inside a long verse of scripture. Sometimes if you are the type that can remember verses and scriptures, it is that Romans chapter 10 verse 11 that will just occur to you. But if you are somebody like me, you remember justification. The word justification, or the word, it will just occur to you that there's now no condemnation. It will just flow to you. You just remember it. When you remember that, something will tell you it's a lie. It's a common scripture. You know it before. It's not from God. Don't listen. Why? The judge shall live by faith. Number two, ask yourself, before you started praying, did you remember that scripture? Now, when you hear that, when you remember that kind of scripture, please, stop praying. Carry your Bible. Sometimes it could be a phrase that you don't even know where it is. That's why you should have more than Gideon's Bible. Gideon's Bible is good. But for relating with God, you need a Bible that has concordance and references. That is, when you open the Bible, under justify, they will put A. And if you go to the side of the Bible, the A will be referring to another scripture. Now, read the main scripture. Go and read what A says. And start reading your Bible like that. In fact, by the time you start doing that, you become absorbed in that study. You will go from the main scripture to the A. The A will lead you to another one. And you just don't hurry. Just keep flowing with it. As you are doing that, the Holy Spirit will be twisting you to give you clarity about what to do. A scripture will interpret to mean to you what it never meant to anybody. Imagine you want to pay your school fees. And you are praying. And you just remember Peter catching fish and seeing money inside the mouth of fish. That's not related. But don't judge it by the surface. Because for you, it is going to mean something else. If you go to that scripture, read it before, read it after. In fact, you could even go down to the beginning of the chapter, read it down. Just be open. Whatever it tells, just keep working at it. You will discover that it will lead you and give you an interpretation. It will end up telling you, don't worry, this money will be paid miraculously. That could be the import of that scripture. That just don't worry. Just like the tax was paid using a method that was not common to man, this your school fees will be paid through a method that is not ordinary. You will take that away. I thank God for it. Let me warn you, when you have that kind of scripture, you'll be filled with faith. And please, each time you go through this, write it down. Write everything down. Everything that is you are seeing, write it down. Because after you leave the place, the whole thing will leave you. You will feel terrible again. Fear will come. Doubt will come. But because you have written down the mood and the instructions, if you go back there, it will revive you. Keep going back there. Seeking more, finding more, seeking more. And by the time you keep doing this, if somebody asks you, do you have what you are trusting God with? You have. Hallelujah. Does that seem to answer your question? Hallelujah. Does anybody have a question as a result of this or something we said before? I hope this is not Rock Foundation style. You know, Rock Foundation, they won't ask questions early. Then when you're about to end, more questions will come. Okay, there is a paper going around you could write in papers. Hallelujah. You seem to want to ask me to go and rest. Hallelujah. Now, let's open our Bible. Let's do something before I leave. This is not something you do often in the third service, but I can ask us to do it because it's also practical and useful. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Matthew 18, verse 18. It says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Hallelujah. You know, there's something about the Bible. Please, take it for the simplicity that it presents. Don't use the weight of your problem to judge the scriptures. Because the scripture is the power of God. It is bigger than our problems. Time has proven it. He's saying, whatever you bind on earth, meaning whatever you disallow in your life on earth will be disallowed in heaven. And whatever you allow here on earth will be allowed in heaven. It means that it is your business to determine what will happen to you. And it is your business to determine what will not happen to you. It has nothing to do with Nigeria. It doesn't have anything to do with what is happening around you. What do you want? Let me give you an example. You know, these days, sometimes when you go online, you listen to people talking about the fact that, especially when a young man in his 40s and 50s dies, you will see one person saying, "It is not how long, but how well." As far as I am concerned, I want to live long. And I will live long. It is for me, long and well. It's not an option. It is both. But if you are not careful, you will join side with those that believe that if he dies at 40 and he has long, which memory? Who was the Chief Justice of Nigeria in 1975? Do you know? It's so important. In fact, who was the Lord Ernest Chairman? You don't know. And they were cutting the short. So the issue of earthly memory as a function of justifying whether you have lived well is relevant. That's not what God has said. God said, "With long life I will satisfy you." He said, "You will see your children's children." It's your choice to lay hold of that. He said, "If you bind evil, it will be bound in heaven. If you allow long life, you will have it." They say, "At that cost, everybody fails. You are an exception." Right there, I say, "I am not going to fail. Even if you don't know how you will pass, take a position." It is whatever you allow. You go around your friends, and somebody is saying, they say, "There are fewer men than women now." And they are using that to justify why a man should marry three wives so that there will be husband for every woman. And I'm an exception. I will have a godly husband. We will live a good life. And my children will be an inheritance for this godly place. It's your choice. And it's not just a matter of choosing it. Like I said before, it's not just a matter of believing it. Say it. Like I said, for your generation now, the future is an issue. What to do next is important. But he says, if you allow opportunities into your life, it will be allowed in heaven. If you disallow frustrations and joblessness, it will be disallowed in heaven. The Bible says the Lord will keep you in the path of righteousness. Why? For the sake of his name. Choose to believe that the Lord will help you. And don't just believe it. Say it. I allow God to help me. And I declare the Lord will help me. I will do well. I will prosper. I will find a good wife. I will find a good husband. I will build a good home. I will leave inheritance for my children's children. Hallelujah. That is your business. Nobody will do that for you. Can I burden you a little bit? Can we do this now? Hallelujah. Rise up on your feet. Hallelujah. He says, truly I say to you, whatever you disallow, see, whatever you don't like, say it now. I do not like you. I disallow you. Will not happen in my life. Listen to me. It includes fears. You know, some of you, maybe you have seen some trends in your family. Health issues, financial issues, relationship issues. And they are making you feel that, it will happen to you. Or it's making you fear it may happen to you. Or maybe anything that is negative, anything that is not good that you can remember today, please see it as being here and you are moving away. I am not allowing you to happen in my life. Let's start to do that now, please. Just talk, say, I mention it, I say, I disallow you. I do not permit you to happen in my life. You will not come to pass. I disallow you in the name of Jesus. I refuse you. You will not happen. The authority is your own. My brother and my sister, it is your own. Say it and it will happen to you. I disallow evil to prosper in my life. I will not lose my treasures. I will not die young. I will live out my days. My life will be a good life. I will live long and I will be rich. I will have sufficiency. I will abound to every good work. I am the godliness of Jesus, of God in Christ Jesus. I declare no evil will prevail against me. I will not be poor. I will not be poor. Poverty, I do not allow you. You will not have a place in my life. I refuse you. I take my stand against you because I belong to Jesus. Jesus paid. He became poor so that I can be rich. And I take a position today. I will not be poor. I refuse it. Poverty, I disallow you in my life. I do not allow you. You will not have your expression in my life. I keep you at bay in the name of Jesus. I want to implore you. Mistakes in life is of the devil. Declare it. I will not make mistakes in life. I will take right decisions. I will be helped to do the right thing. I refuse you mistakes at every point in life. Mistakes, you will not have your way with me. I refuse you in the name of Jesus. I will not make mistakes. At every choice in life, I will get it right. I will not go into error in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Things are going to work well for us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I hope you are not tired of doing this. Hallelujah. He goes further. I said, whatever you set loose on earth shall be set loose in heaven. What do you want to see in your life? What do you like? See, let me tell you. This verse of scripture is an open check. Anything you desire, God will give it to you. Don't wait, what it called you? How can I? You can't because your father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Hallelujah. Just rest on that. Is there any good thing you want to see? Now, allow it. I allow a good marriage to be my lot. I allow a good husband to come into my life. I allow a godly woman to come into my life. I allow a godly man to come into my life. A godly husband will find me. I open the door of my life to a godly man. I am a treasure in the house of a godly man. I am a blessing to a godly woman. I will prosper and do well. When I marry, I will have children. I will not be barren. I will have children of my church. My children shall be taught by the Lord. Great shall be the peace of my children. I declare that my children will be a wonder to behold. My children will prosper. My generation is blessed. I declare in the name of Jesus, my generation is blessed. Things are working out for me. I receive open doors. Doors are opening for me. I receive doors opening. Doors, I call you, open to me. Opportunities for prosperity, open to me. Opportunities for the peace of God, open to me. and lay hold of the treasures of God, I have all I need to live a godly life. Possibilities are my lot in the name of Jesus. I have all I need to live a godly life. I receive wisdom. I am wise in Christ Jesus. I have the wisdom of God. I have the wisdom of God. I have the wisdom of God. Doors are opening to me. Opportunities are coming to me. I allow opportunities in my life. I welcome opportunities. I am not hindered. I refuse it. I am not hindered. Things are working out for me. Whatever I lay my hands on will prosper. Whatever I choose to do will prosper. The Lord will lead me aright. The Lord will guide my steps. The Lord will fulfill my expectations. What I'm looking up to God for, I lay hold of it. It is happening for me. It is happening for me. It is happening for me. Things are working out for me. I give you glory, Jesus. I give you glory, Jesus. Let's just lift up our hands and start to bless the Lord. Oh, glory be to you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just water this in the Holy Spirit. Water this in the Holy Spirit. Round it up in the Holy Spirit. Please pray in tongues. Oil it in the Holy Spirit. Rikato Santa Lika Zadayaba. Ruto Kaba Sete Kelibo Santa Hima. Brina Kuta Kushatayana Kato. Rigabo Sente Rima Sitaya. Rakato Kolege Zede. Riba Baba Baba Santa Kalaba Sataya. Oh, glory be to you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All things are possible for us because we believe we will have all we have said. It will come to pass. And the name of the Lord will be glorified. Hallelujah to you, Jesus. Oh, glory be to you, Jesus. Rima sonta raba sendere gebo. Balika santa kali satayaba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to you, Jesus. Thank you, our Father. Hallelujah. Oh, rika posa toka shaka yamaka. Rima soto limbruno sheke zede kesi pokasa thakaba. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I just feel like thanking you guys for just flowing with the Spirit of God. Thank you. And I know and I confess that God will justify your faith. He will encourage you by the outcomes of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, you can have your seat. Before I round it up, please give us that again. You know, this is verse 18. And please, let me plead with you. What you have just done here, you don't have to wait till we do it in church. Please, do this as a matter of routine. God has given you authority to demand things to happen. So do it privately. Walk around your room, talk, speak to situations, refuse things, accept things. Don't accept things you can even do yourself. Yeah, those things you can't handle yourself. That's where your faith lies. Hallelujah. And it's also important, look for promises in the Bible and lay claim to them. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Just keep saying it, even if you don't know the meaning. Say it over and over and over. It is depositing ahead of you. Now, the next verse, verse 19. It says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Next verse. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Go back to verse 19. It says, if two of you we agree here on earth about anything that you pray, he says it will be done for you by my Father who is in heaven. I don't know how much of this you have been exploiting, but I'm trying to also encourage you to do this. He's saying, when you have issues in your life, remember to lay hold of this scripture. Agree together. There's power in agreement. He said, if you ask for anything, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. There are so many testimonies that I have heard, people have heard concerning power of agreement. I mean, I remember one recently. We were waiting for a document to come through in our household, and we noticed that there had been some delay. It's just like five people went to do something, they are releasing documents for four people, and they kept your own back. And they kept telling you stories why it is not so, it is not so, it is not so. It got to a point. I just came to accept. I said, come, this issue requires us to be specific. I came to this scripture. The first thing I did is, please give us verse 18. He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I just felt like, look, this delay is caused by the devil. And I said, look, let's bind the devil now and command him to get his hands off this issue. And we stood together and did that. And then, next verse, verse 19. Again, I hope you notice, again does not stand alone. Again is linking this one to the previous verse. It means you can do that and this. In fact, when you do that, do this. If you have to do this, do that first. In this case, I removed the devil from being part of it. Then I enforced this. And what did we do? I said, look, let's agree together that this document will be released within the next period. And we agreed and walked away. And it came out. So, I want to ask you now, is there anything in your life that you want us to agree with, something you want to see happen? If you are in that category, just come forward here. Let the rest of us just bow our heads again. Please, just close your eyes, pray in the Holy Spirit. Please, you'll soon be out of here. Bow your heads and pray in the Holy Spirit while those that need power of agreement will come out. Please, if you are not coming out, bow your heads and start praying the Holy Spirit. Brother Tola, you see, as you are going to agree, people will come to you now. Please, be specific. Don't say, I want to agree to have long life. That's omnibus. Be specific. Is it that you want to travel tomorrow and you want to get there safely? Yeah, I want to go to Lagos and I want to get there safely. I'm going for an interview. I want to be successful. I expect this amount of money, and I want to agree that the money will come. I need a spouse. I agree together that my husband will show up. I need a husband and a wife. I agree together that my wife will show up. Something like that. Now, let's go to verse 18 before we pray. Please close your eyes. The issue for which you want us to agree, look at it. Is there any way the devil could have been hampering it? Tell the devil to get his hands off that issue now. Tell the devil, on this issue, I command you, get your hands off. Stay out of this. I restrain you from getting involved with this issue in the name of Jesus. I bind you in Jesus' name. I ask you to get your dirty hands off this issue in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. Now, please wait for people to come and join you. Please, let's, partners, let's come and agree with them. And like I said, when they agree with you, go trusting that the Father has heard you and has been done for you by your Father in heaven.